Now, on this InvestTalk podcast, Steve Peasley listens to your questions and provides unbiased answers. InvestTalk, over 31 million downloads and counting.
I wanted to get your opinion on ticker symbol.
I just really like it as a long-term play.
Appreciate the show. Appreciate all the knowledge. Thanks, guys.
Your participation makes it unique. 888-99-CHART.
This podcast is produced by KPP Financial. Steve Peasley, President. KPP Financial. Independent thinking, shared success. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Invest Talk. It is Wednesday, October 13, 2021. Appreciate you being with me. So how many times have you heard me warn you about volatility? I know it's been many, many times. You're probably sick of hearing about it. But you do know, all you have to do is, you don't have to go very far to figure out if I'm correct or not. Just think about the last year and a half and the changes they've been going through. Okay? The market's volatile. And the reason why I bring this up is because if you're going to be an investor, you have to deal with the volatility. You have to understand that that's what happens. If you can't handle that volatility, if it's too much for you, in other words, you can't watch your stocks go down and up and down and up, sometimes crash, then shoot up, that volatility is going to be with us forever. Now, maybe not as much as we have seen, but it's still going to be. The market is volatile. You have to learn from it. You have to. We're living in time. We can't get away from it. Excuse me. It's essential that you maintain portfolio focus. Stay focused on your holdings. Don't give up on them just because they're going down. That's not a reason to get out. Give up on them because they're going up. Don't say, I haven't made enough money, I'm going to get out. That's not a reason to get out either. You got to do your fundamental analysis. You got to figure out what's driving them, why it's being driven. And, you know, you can boil it down to very, very simple. Stocks go up when the earnings of the companies go up. They make money, stocks will go up. The problem is they won't go up exactly the same time that the earnings go up. There could be competition and the fear of the earnings in the future may not go up. There's all kinds of things that get in the way. But essentially, stocks go up because companies make money. That's it. You can handle the volatility if you understand that your company makes money and eventually the stock will go up. That's it. See, we're done. That's all you need to learn about investing. Right. Okay. Now, on today's program and podcast, I always start with the same mission statement, independent thinking and shared success. And this means I'm going to give you the facts. This means that I'm going to share with you the information I have, and that the information I have is downloaded from various data sources, and I just pass it on the information. Can the information be wrong? Well, the data sources could be wrong. They could exaggerate. They could be misinformed. There could be all kinds of things. But you deal with what we have. We use the information that we have, knowing that there is a possibility it's not exactly accurate. Things change all the time. That's what makes this an interesting thing to do, in my opinion. So I will present the facts as unbiasedly as I can to you. I'm Steve Peasley. I encourage you to contact me with your financial investment questions. This is a call-in show. You get to drive the show in the direction you want. So you got to call, though. And if you never call, then you don't get to drive it anywhere, do you? You get to listen. So I would appreciate you would call. We're live 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. We live stream right now, 4 to 5 Pacific time on InvestTalk.com. And, of course, we do podcasts, so we cut out all the commercials later, and it'll be right after the show, post to all the podcasts. You can listen to it then, too. But we do need your questions. You can call anytime. Leave your question in the voice bank, and we will call you. We will answer those questions. 888-99-CHART is the number. 888-992-4278. It's the same number when we're live, the same number when we're not live. So let's go to the first listener line question right now.
Hey guys, I wanted to see what you guys thought of Next Era Energy, ticker NEE. All right, thank you.
Okay, NextEra Energy Inc. goes engaged in a generation, transmission, distribution, and sale electricity for 10 million customers in Florida. So whenever you're dealing with a utility, you know, most utilities pay a decent dividend. They're pretty darn steady. They generally grow very slowly. That's just their nature. So how about this one? Well, a couple years ago, they made $2.31 a share, $2.31. Then this year, they're going to make $2.52, and next year, they're going to make $2.74 a share. That's what's listed. Meanwhile, their sales have been going down the last five quarters in a row. I would be concerned about that. Why are the sales going down? Most utilities had debt because they used that debt to improve or build more facilities. That's how they do it. Current equity is 12%. It is a $80 stock and make $2.74 next year, meaning it's expensive. That's what that should tell you. It's expensive. Cash flow is very high at 4.52. And remember, utilities pay dividends. That's what you're looking at. This one pays only 1.9%, maybe because the stock has been rising consistently for a number of years. It fell to a COVID low of about $40 a share, and now it's $80. So I don't think it had a lot of room, does not have a lot of room to the upside. I would be very, very cautious, and it doesn't pay a high enough dividend to make me want to own it. So that's what I would do. I would not own this company. Not that it's a bad company, just that it doesn't have the numbers, the fundamentals that I want. My focus point today concerns a story. A study has revealed that the pandemic has disrupted retirement plans for 35% of Americans, depending on your situation. What I found interesting about the article was the different stratification of different groups, like baby boomers and Generation X, and what their retirement expectations are. We'll talk about that. What assets should you own during a rising inflationary environment? We have a rising inflationary environment. What assets work best in that situation? Looking back in history. Now, history doesn't necessarily, you know, tell us what the future is going to be, but it's a good lesson to learn, something to have in your quiver of arrows to shoot at the market, okay? So with that, we'll talk about that. Shipping bottleneck. I'll give you some explanations. We talked about the disruption of the supply chain. But I want to specifically talk about why we have a shipping bottleneck here in the United States. Why are we dealing with this? The shipping bottleneck is everywhere, but not just here in the United States, but how it affects us and what's going on here. We'll talk about that. Cash versus bonds. Should you be in cash or should you be in bonds? You know, there's been arguments about, you know, whether you should invest your cash in bonds if because you can get more money, more return. Well, let's talk about that. So market was up today, surprisingly. Okay, wait a minute. The Dow was down 1 point, okay? But the S&P was down, up 106 points. The NASDAQ was up 106 points and the S&P up 13. So I'm saying the overall market was up. But then that was far a big improvement from the morning. It was down mostly. Gold had a very nice day, up $34.60 today. That's about 1.97%, so 2%. Gold was up 2%. Did you see that oil's at $81 a barrel? $81 a barrel. Man, you know, that affects everybody. It affects you, me, everybody. Anybody who uses gasoline in their car, it affects you. You know, financially, it's a burden for you that you have to buy the gasoline, because you, maybe someday you won't have to do that. But right now you have to do that to use your vehicles. So we would love to have cheap gasoline, but we don't. It's at $81 a barrel. That's not cheap. So that's what happened in the market today. What do you guys want to talk about? My trivia question today concerns the history of the paper money. History of paper money. And that's coming up at the halfway mark of the program. history of paper money. So what do you want to talk about? I'm willing to talk about anything. I could talk this full hour easily about the stock market. But you drive the show. Give me a call. I hope you're telling your friends and family members about us, Invest Talk. And thanks for your loyalty. I appreciate everybody else who's listening. I know there's a lot of listeners because we see how many downloads we get every month. We know they're out there. There's tons of you, and we appreciate it. The number is 888-99-CHART. Give me a call.
InvestTalk is here to help. And when you download the free InvestTalk podcasts, don't forget to rate and review. The phone lines are open, 888-99-CHART.
Hey, this is Beth from Minnesota. I got a question regarding Big Five Sporting Goods. That's ticker B as in boy, G as in girl, F as in Frank, V as in Victor. Looking to pick this up and put it into a dividend portfolio for the long term. See that it's down about 35% from its 52-week high, and it pays a nice dividend, and that looks pretty secure. Wondering what your thoughts would be for a long-term dividend hold on this one. Thank you.
Okay, Big Five Sporting Corp, BGFV as in Victor, BGFV, headquarters in El Segundo, California, near L.A., operates 430 athletic apparel and outdoor equipment stores in 11 states. It makes money, has made money for a number of years. It's going to make $4.22 this year, which is a big improvement from last year, $2.33. But that's going to ratchet back down to $3.11 next year. It's a $24 stock. So even at $3.11, that's a pretty cheap stock, right? I mean, that's well below 10. About what? Eight? An 8 PE. An 8 PE. That's very low. Return on equity is very good at 24%. Cash flow is very high at 3.16. And it pays a 4.2% dividend. Well, that's easily paid on a $24 stock. That's what, 90 cents or so? And they make $3.11 a share. They pay 90 cents a share. Pretty easily done. Sales growth is pretty spectacular recently. Of course, everybody's working out more indoors and not at the gym, so they've had a pretty good run. And that's probably why they think it's going to come down next year, because, you know, there's a lot of extra buying, you know, since COVID started. I kind of like it. I kind of like the stock. For a dividend play, you could hold on to it, because if it pays that dividend, I check the history of the dividend, see if it's pretty consistent. It should be, but I would check the history. And the earnings are pretty solid. The company is really solid. I imagine owns 8%. I kind of like it. Mutual funds went from 83 mutual funds holding in 2020 to 219 funds now. But they're only on 35% of the company's owned by the funds. And the funds really drive the price. So I kind of like it. Even though it had stayed around $34, came off of that, it looks like it's found support in this low 20s. So I kind of like the play. I do. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Let's jump into another caller question from the same number, 888-99-CHART.
Hi, this is Bob from North Carolina. I was just wondering at what price point you would get in on AT&T stock. Thank you.
Well, it's now $25 a share. Keeps coming down. And, you know, I don't think it's been this low for I can't tell you how many years. Before 2014, because that's when my data goes back that far right in front of me, and the lowest it's been is $30 a share. Here it is sitting at 25. Why is it sitting at 25? Because, remember, it sold off a big chunk of their company. You know, Time Warner sold that off, which is going to affect their dividend yield. So it's not going to probably be 8.2%. Might be 4% or so. Still a very good dividend. I don't know. I think I'd buy and hold it and just keep it for the dividend, because I think it will go back up. I think it'll go back up to $30 or more. I mean, it's traded in a range of, what, 28 to 35 or so for a long time, 33. We're moving into a break. On the other side, I will tackle a focus point. So hang on. This is Invest Talk, 888-99-CHART.
The stock market is volatile. It's constantly changing. So how are you positioned? Is your portfolio properly balanced, or are you taking unnecessary risks? You can get guidance anytime for free if you go to investtalk.com and take the brief Riskalyze quiz.
88.99 chart, my focus point today. We're talking about a story. A study has revealed that pandemic has disrupted retirement plans for about 35% of Americans. I don't find that surprising, do you? I think that should be expected. Why? If you notice that the pandemic changed lots of things, one of the fundamental changes we're going through is our workforce and where they work. We already were moving to working from home more and more and more, more of a digital workforce. The pandemic accelerated that tremendously. And we're still dealing with that. That change is permanent. Now, how many people are going to return to work? We're looking at a workforce that has a very high quit rate, meaning people are quitting their jobs and looking for other jobs. And I guarantee you, some of those people are quitting their jobs because they don't want to go to the office. They want to stay home. Some of the workers are not even going back to work. They don't want to go back to work. COVID has shown that they can survive as long as possible without working. Or else our workforce, of which 63% of the workforce is working before COVID, now only 61. That's 2% difference of our workforce, of millions upon millions of workers. So 2% is quite a number of workers. So all that has changed. So retirement planning has changed. Of course it's going to change. And it's going to change further. What I have noticed, remember, I'm an old guy. I've been around a long time. As people get older, their idea of I'm going to retire early keeps being pushed back to retire later and later. And this survey bears that out. Generation Z, that most of them think they're going to retire under 60 years old. Millennials, most of them think they're going to retire under 60 years old. Generation X, these are older people now. Now, most of them think they're going to retire about 64. Baby boomers, mine. Now, those people think they're going to try around 68. So, the younger you are, the more you think you retire early. But as you get older and older, you figure out, okay, you have family, you have raising children, whatever it is. Your retirement age gets pushed back and back and back and back. I don't see how this study tells me anything new. It does not tell anybody anything new, in my opinion. So, yeah. The workforce has changed. Their ideas of retirement pretty much the same. Because you still have to have a certain amount of money in retirement. That's not changing. You still need it. And people are not very good savers in the United States. They're not. I don't see that changing. I mean, it could change, but I haven't seen any evidence of it yet. So, yeah, I think, someone writing a report, which this person is, about how these age groups look at retirement. Yeah, yeah. I bet you if you asked baby boomers 20, 30 years ago, they thought they'd retire not at 68 years old, but earlier. But most baby boomers don't have enough money to retire. Just don't. I think that's a typical American anyway. I think that's typical. Let's pivot back to another InvestTalk point, InvestTalk voice bank question, if we can. This came
earlier.
Hey,
Justin and Steve, this is Nick from Seattle. Calling to get your opinion on some of these commodities plays. I'm seeing, I'll take one for example. Let's just say Vale. They're down nearly 30% since recent all-time highs. Seems like it could be a good entry point here. I think it's pulling back to the 500-week moving average. I really don't follow commodities. I'm looking for, your opinion in this space. Let me know. Thanks.
Well, you should follow commodities. We have not been investing in the commodities section as a nation for well over 10 years. Very little investment. We're going to have to catch up. I think we're at the beginning of that catch-up period. Yeah, commodity prices spiked up, commodity stocks spiked up, and now they're giving some of that back. Why would you find that surprising? I find that, okay, opportunity. Vale. VALE is a Brazilian company engaged in the mining exploration of minerals in Brazil and five other countries. It's going to make $4.90 this year after making 95 cents last year. Next year, it's going to make $3.13. Notice, have you noticed that this year, money, all these companies are making a lot of money. The next year, their earnings are going to go down, but still much higher than they were before COVID. So still an elevated price. It's a $14 stock going to make $3.13. What, 4.5 PE? They're low. Their range is 4. On the range of their PE is 4 to 296. I think it's a buying opportunity. How can it not be? How can it not be? Right now it says it pays a huge dividend, 18.6%. I can't buy into that. It's not. It's just can't do that. But I do like the company. I do like the space. I think you need to be in commodities. Okay? InvestTalk is a financial investment program. So obviously we talk about money quite often. But I thought it might be fun to lighten things up a little bit with a money trivia question. Okay? About history. History. The history of our money. So as we go to break, here is my two-part trivia question. In which year did the U.S. Treasury begin printing paper money? And in which year was the $2 bill first printed? After the break, I'll supply the answer. But for now, the phone lines are open. Time to give me a call, 888-99-CHART.
You are listening to Invest Talk. Every Friday on the program and the podcast, Steve Peasley shares highlights from the newest edition of the KPP Premium Newsletter. Listen Fridays to Invest Talk. And now, Steve and Justin welcome your calls and questions. 888-99-CHART.
Okay, before the question, before the break, I had a trivia question for you. So, in which year did the U.S. Treasury begin printing paper money? Paper money. And in which year was the $2 bill first printed? So, before I cite specific years, let me comment about the $2 bill in circulation. You know, the circulation $2 bill is very, very low. They're rarely seen. I have several, by the way, in my safe.
There's so much going on in the world right now. Whether it's things you're excited about, like portfolio investments that are producing positive results, or events we'd rather not think about. I'll skip that example. What I'm getting at is this. You can't always control the vibes out there, but you can always control the vibes in your head with a pair of Raycon wireless earbuds in your ears. I picked up a pair, and I gotta tell you, they sound great. I can use them to pump up, wind down, work, or work out. So Raycons are my go-to for on-the-go audio. And the new everyday earbuds look, feel, and sound better than ever. Raycons offer 8 hours of playtime and a 32-hour battery life. There's also a built-in mic, and you can take calls on your earbuds at the press of a button. They come with 3 sound profiles and an awareness mode. Raycons start at half the price of other premium audio brands, but they sound just as good. And Raycons come with a 45-day happiness guarantee. Right now, InvestTalk listeners can get 15% off their Raycon order at buyraycon.com/invest. That's buyraycon.com/invest to save 15% on Raycons. buyraycon.com/invest.
I have several $2 bills because I think they're neat, very rare. So why are they low? Why don't they print more? Well, the government has stated it doesn't like to print $2 bills because people don't like to use them. That may be so. I that's possible. So that's why they don't print them. That is an example of circular logic. No one uses them because no one uses them. So they are not printed, and that means no one can use them. Yet they're still legal tender. Do you have $2 bills? I have them because they're just unusual. No one has them. The first printing of a $2 bill was in 1862, just 1 year after the U.S. Treasury began printing paper money in 1861. That's when we started printing paper money, 1861. Initially, the $2 bill featured Alexander Hamilton. the first Secretary Treasurer. But in 1869, 8 years later, Hamilton was replaced with Thomas Jefferson, whose portrait still graces the dollar, $2 bill. So do you have any Hamilton $2 bills? Production was discontinued in 1966 with a government claim of insufficient use. So 1966, no more $2 bills. A decade later, in 1976, twos were revived as part of a bicentennial celebration. Do you remember that? I remember that. And as a reason, in 2013, 45 million addition $2 bills were introduced in the economy. So to put that in perspective, the oft-overlooked denomination still makes up a mere 3% of all U.S. bills in the circulation. I would love to have a Hamilton $2 bill. Remember, Hamilton was first put on it. He was on that $2 bill from 1862 to 1869, then Thomas Jefferson. I wonder if there's someone's got to have them. That would be very interesting. I think it's very interesting. 888-99-CHARGE, our number, 888-992-4278. So what assets should you buy if we have a rising inflationary environment? So the question is, are we in a rising inflationary environment? I can tell you we're at elevated inflation. We are elevated, almost twice what is normal. But does it continue to go up? I don't know about that. But what are the sectors in history that worked very well in an inflationary and rising inflationary environment? Utilities, materials, healthcare. This question was asked yesterday. Do you remember yesterday on the show? Utilities, materials, oil, healthcare, emerging markets, not doing very well right now. Communication services, not doing very well right now. Gold, also not doing very well right now, even though I had a big day today, up by $34 or 2%. What are some of the worst in a rising inflationary environment? Bonds. Bonds, all kinds of bonds are the worst in rising inflationary environment. Why? Well, because in a rising inflationary environment, usually the Federal Reserve starts to let interest rates rise. When interest rates rise, bond values go down. So what do you do? What do you do with your cash? What do you do with the money that you have in bonds? Should you take it out? Should you move it to cash? And that's another talking point I want to talk about before the show, if we have time. Right now, let's go to Mike in Livermore. How you doing, Mike?
Very good, Steve. Quick couple questions. One, you're usually spot on when you give out a little information. And a while ago, you recommended Mesa Airlines, a little small hub. It was $4 or $5, and you said it's going to 9 or 10. And I didn't listen, and it went to 9 or maybe 10. But now it's back down, I think, to 6 or 7. Would you recommend jumping back in, wait a little bit, or forget? And two, should all the dividends take received cash and stuff, or would you reinvest always if you're not in the market for income, you know, for your retirement?
Okay.
Okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes sense. He's talking about if you're in a dividend-paying stocks, do you reinvest the dividends in that dividend-paying stocks, or you take the cash? I usually take the cash. Yeah, I usually take the cash because I know I don't necessarily want to buy more of that stock necessarily. I want to buy another stock. And once I get fully diversified in the stocks I want, you know, and I think you should hold 15, 20 stocks. We hold about 30, 35, but an average person needs to hold about 15, 20 or more. Once you have all the stocks you should have, then I still will let the money gather until I get to an age, then I invest whatever I wanted to. But until you get to an age in which you want to just hold on to blue chip type stocks, you can reinvest in them, but you just got to also rebalance your portfolio. You don't want to be too heavy in any one thing. That's what that means. Mesa Air Group, symbol MESA, holding company for regional airlines serving 102 cities. We all know about the airlines and their problems. We all know that. They're making money. They even made money during the COVID year, so which hardly any airline companies did. That was pretty darn impressive. It's a very tiny company, $274 million. So that's one of the problems you have when a company is so small. The stock is trading at $7.66. It got as low as $2 last year and as high as $9 last year. The year before, the high was 11. The year before that, the high was 16. So it's 7 now. It's going to make $1.09 next year. I think it's probably at a good buy point, and it should go back up to $9, $10 area. It should. I wouldn't be surprised if it goes back up to $11. So, yeah, I would consider buying it. I'm not a big airline buyer. It's not something I would buy, but, you know, I think this is cheap enough and a good enough. I think someone might snap this company up, another bigger airline. Buy it. For $274 million, they own this company that services 102 cities. And I like that as a big company. I might want to take that advantage of that. Mike, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. This is InvestTalk. Justin and I thank you for downloading our podcast and telling your friends about us. Now let's play another caller question.
Hi, Duncan from New York. Just got a quick question about a strategy of me selling a loser metal stock, AG, that is silver, AG, and kind of using those funds to a energy source, maybe like XLV energy fund. Just looking to know your thoughts. You said that metals aren't doing so well, and I don't know if I should have it like long-term. Obviously, no rush for me, but just want to know your 2 cents. Thank you very much. Have a good day. Bye.
Well, I noticed a lot of oil stocks have already moved up significantly. I don't like trading a stock that hasn't moved, that has great value, for a stock has less value but already moved up. You're too late to that party, maybe. So be very careful on that oil stocks. A lot of them moved up. This is First Majestic Silver Company. AG is a symbol. It's a $3 billion company, a Canadian company engaged in the mining acquisition of silver properties in Mexico. They've made money for a number of years. They're going to make 25 cents a share this year, 55 cents a share next year. Sales in the most recent quarter went up 342%. Before that, that was a big spike. I wonder if, in July of 2020, they acquired a silver stream from First Mining for $22 million. That might have made the difference right there. And they have been going down for a while. They're at $12.21 a share. They got up to $20 was their high February back a year ago. Then it went down, peaked again in May of last year to $19, and now it's at $12. Personally, it was up today 6%. I would hold on to this stock. I would not sell it. You know, I don't think, you know, the fundamentals support a higher price. It came down to a number where it should hold and go up from. And I just think it's worth more money than this. So I'd be patient. You're going to sell it to 12. I'd sell it at around $18. If you're looking to sell it, I don't like to sell things just because they're down. Never do that. Don't sell things. Don't buy more also just because they're down. You don't make those kind of decisions that way. You look at the fundamentals. You look at the growth rate. You look at the sales. You take a look at the economic conditions we're in and say, okay, should this be supportive of a higher stock price? And the answer in this one is yes. So I would hold on to it. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. Okay, well, you know, we almost on every podcast, I like to talk about KPP Financial a little bit, you know, if I can. You know, what we can offer our clients and what we do. We're located in Irvine, California. That's in Orange County, between LA and San Diego, on the coast. KPP Financial, we operate with a philosophy of independent thinking, shared success. And how we implement that is we give you unbiased guidance. But more importantly, we practice what I call parallel investing, meaning I buy the same thing for my clients as I do for myself. Justin and I are on the same side of the table as our clients. We like that. When we buy something, we buy it for ourselves. I'm in all the 5 of our programs with all my money. And I've tried along with my clients. Okay? Now, if you want us, we will be happy to take a look at your portfolio. We'll give you our opinion on it. We'll talk about whether it fits your personality after we talk to you a little bit. We would like you to take our risk allies questionnaire, which will tell us your risk tolerance, and we'll plug in your portfolio into that same software to determine what its risk tolerance is, and we can tell whether you're matching up with what you say you want to take. You know, if I want to be aggressive, but what if you own non-aggressive assets? I want to be conservative, but what if you own aggressive assets? See, so you got to match up with what you want and where you are in your life and what lifestyle you want. Those things are important. It really is. Because you'll panic out or panic in at the very wrong time. And then you go, how come I never make money in the stock market? Everybody else does, or I'm just no good at it. No, it's just that it takes knowledge. That's all. Anyway, there's no obligation of any kind. None. We don't pressure you. There is no pressure. All we really want to do is help you if we can. We'll help you. We want to help you. Really. So it's up to you. You don't have to have us help you. We won't. But I think it will serve you well along. Okay. Let's go to Jim in Washington State. Jim, what part of Washington State are you in?
Up north of Seattle, up in Bellingham.
Okay. Know it well. I was born in Seattle. So I moved out of there when I was 5, but I have relatives in Seattle and Portland, lots of them. So,
oh,
so
nice.
I know the area pretty well. I go up there at least once a year, at least. Anyways, what's your question?
Great. Yeah, we love it up here.
Yeah.
Just kind of looking at the demand for shipping containers and stuff, and I looked at Triton International.
Yes.
And I just wanted to ask you about what you think about that as far as fundamentals and technicals.
I do know that there's like 5 million new containers being built. Millions of them, because they need them. Millions of them. Triton International, Sybil, TRTM, Bermuda-based company, provides chassis, dry freight, refrigerated, special, and tank containers. Okay, so that's what they do. I think this is a growing space that they're going to need more and more and more of this. And their sales have been increasing. 4 quarters ago, sales shrank 3%. 3 quarters ago, it grew 2%. 2 quarters ago, 8%. Last quarter, the June quarter, it grew 15%. This is sales, 15%. Now, they're coming up with their reporting date. I'm be very interested to see what their sales growth is now. It's a $3.6 billion company, making $8.43 this year and a little bit more next year, which is a little different. Most companies are going to be making less next year, but not Triton International. They're going to make a little bit more. It's a $53 stock. Well, that's like 6.5-7 PE ratio. When their 5-year range is 5 to 32, return equity is pretty healthy at 14%. Pays a nice dividend, 4.2%. Cash flow is almost $14 a share. I kind of like it. You know, it looks like it found it topped. You know, the stock topped. Let me go over here and find out what that top number was. It topped at $61.88 last March. Okay. So now it's 53. You know what I see now? All it did is been basing for some time, months. Basing meaning it's going sideways, building a base. This would be the time you want to pick it up. If you're going to pick up this, if you want to put this, I would do it now. I kind of like it. Triton International. Okay? Just letting you know. Good pick. TRTN. This is Invest Talk. I'm Steve Peasley, and we have one goal here, just one, and that's to help you achieve financial freedom. I used to beat on that every day. Financial freedom, financial freedom. You need financial freedom, whatever that means to you. So I want to help you get there. So get your questions in now, 888-99-CHART.
This is Invest Talk. Is your portfolio balanced? Is it optimized? Is it delivering the types of gains you want and need to achieve financial freedom? Well, turn up the volume, because there are many questions that deserve unbiased answers. And Steve Peasley is here now, ready to take your calls live. 888-99-CHART.
Hey, Steve and Justin, this is Rob from Tampa, longtime listener, first-time caller. Really appreciate what you guys do. Question about portfolio management. If you have a position or a stock that your position increases over the 5%, at what point do you decide to trim? So if you had a run, or if the stock had a run and now you're up to 6%, 7%, do you immediately trim that back down to 5% or less, or do you wait for it to trade sideways? Or, you know, what other criteria do you use to determine whether to trim, including whether you're in short or long-term capital gains, given the length of time you've held it? Appreciate everything you do. Look forward to your answer on the podcast.
I think that's an excellent question, and you hit on a number of issues that you have to think about before you trim. If I was to give you just some round numbers, I generally like to wait till it gets close to 10%, around 10%. At that point, it's becoming too heavy and it's starting to impact more of my portfolio more than I like it to. But I would consider short-term versus long-term capital gains to see if I have a long-term capital gains, or I have long-term capital losses that I may want to offset that with by the end of the year. Short-term versus short-term, you know, I have to think about that. Is it in a retirement account? Then I do not have to worry about capital gains if it's in a retirement account. Is it shot up and it was like a few days that it jumped way up for some news that came out? I might take some of that profit off right away. Or is it a steady gainer just gone up and up and up and up? Then I might be a little slower pulling the trigger. See, so it's hard to just give you a set rules. I wish I could just write down all the rules. Do this, 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 and there you go. But it's never that easy. Never, ever, ever that easy. But in general, I don't trim until it gets about 10%. In other words, it doubled or tripled. I usually buy 3% of a portfolio. So around 9%, I've tripled my money, right? If it goes from 3% of my portfolio to 9% of my portfolio, or maybe the rest of my portfolio stank and shrank and it became 9% of my portfolio because it stayed steady. Or just went up a little bit. See, it's never straightforward. It's never straightforward. Never, ever, ever. I wish it was. It's just not. Good question, though. Very good question. Okay, shipping handling bottlenecks. How about some explanation? First of all, did you know that 90% of the global trade is shipped? 90%. Did you know 70% of that is in containers? 70%. The U.S. has increasingly relied on outsourcing for years. We have we not? Outsourcing everything we make or everything we need. Now, to prove it, in 1985, we imported $295 million worth of goods. $295 million in 1985. That's a long time ago. What do you think it is today? $43 billion. $43 billion. Okay. So what's been the shipping bottleneck? What's been the cause of these problems of the, you know, the just disaster supply chain issue? One of the things is just-in-time inventory systems that we have been developing for the last 10, 15, 20 years. Just in time to build it. I mentioned this yesterday. That's one of the biggest problems. And another problem, shipping in the past was not a very profitable business. So no one was investing a lot more shipping. It wasn't just that profitable. Remember, containers went from $2,500 to rent a container to $20,000 to rent a container in a year. That's what it is now. So now it's worth the money to build 5 million more containers. That's what it's about. We have invested in railroads. We have invested in roads, bridges, trucks. Oh, never mind. You know what I'm saying. I'm Steve Peasley. This completes another InvestTalk program. Justin Klein, I thank you for listening, and we encourage you to tell your friends and family members about our free podcast downloads. You can get your free downloads free at iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify. And if you do download on iTunes, please rate us. We would love a rating. You can take it. And if we do, we'll put your question on pretty quickly on the show right away. Appreciate that. Justin will be here tomorrow, everybody. I return on Friday. Independent thinking, shared success. This is InvestTalk. Enjoy your weekend.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for the listener to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor, which retains all rights. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. Steve Peasley is President and Justin Klein Chief Executive Officer of Klein Pavlis Peasley Financial. And they thank you for listening and welcome your comments or questions on our 24-hour listening line at 888-99-CHART.